Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Here we are on this Tuesday night this week, and we're back again tonight, you know, as we ponder the fact that we're drawing close to the end of another year and another decade, and we are going to be in the year 2010 in just a few short days or so. I thought maybe for the first hour of our program tonight, we would spend a little bit of time, just a little, talking about enemy inroads and about what we have been experiencing, you know, the chalkboard, if you will, of victories for the enemy, victories for us, and what lies ahead. So you stay with me, because we will have a very interesting program tonight in the second hour as well. But in the first hour, I wanted to bring back, it's been a long time, Ted Pike of truthtellers.org, to talk to us about some of these inroads that have been made and some of the counter to those inroads, what lies ahead for the Anti-Defamation League and the Synagogue of Satan. So let me welcome back again Ted Pike to the program. Hello, Ted.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me as usual.
Well, it's good to have you back, because it's been a while, and you and I know what we've been seeing here in the United States this last year, that we're still in now, 2009, and I'm beginning to wonder if, in fact, this is our space odyssey. But, you know, Ted, if I had to ask you, what was the most significant thing that happened in America on the ADL's wish list and the Synagogue of Satan, what would that be? Would it be the hate crimes bill that was passed and signed by Obama?
Well, absolutely. In fact, the ADL has been vocal, very vocal, since it passed the Senate in July, and also since it was signed by the president. You know, for at least a decade, the leaders of the religious right have been saying that this hate bill was the work of liberals and the homosexual lobby and so on. Now ADL is really out wanting to brag up the fact that they not only conceived this federal hate crimes bill, but they played the primary role in making it a reality. Certainly is their great accomplishment this year. But on the other hand, I just had an email going out. In fact, it's printed on the News with Views right now tonight, Christian conservative website. And I say that if we don't have an ADL, we don't have any hate law enforcement. Regardless of whether they've got the bill on the books, the fact of the matter is that in all of these hate crimes bureaucracies among the Western industrialized nations, you got to have an ADL presence there, a credible ADL presence that's working behind the scenes, working with the premiers and the district attorneys and the judges and so on, in order to get the prosecutions and the convictions and make their hate crimes laws work. But ADL is taking a real drubbing this year. The other side, the flip side is, they may have passed their hate bill, but we saw a tremendous defeat of the ADL just in the last month when Abe Foxman concocted this 27-page so-called toxic rage report, which was very, very poorly received by the American public.
Okay, well, lots to talk about then. Stay tuned. Ted Pike, my guest in the first hour here. Rick Adams Uncensored on republicbroadcasting.org, and there is much more to come.
FBI.
we are. Thank you for that. We are back now with Ted Pike. And, Ted, yes, indeed, it does appear that the ADL has claimed quite a bit of work behind the scenes and mostly the credit for passage of this bill. And, of course, that's the bad news. The good news, you say, is in some of the things that have been fought successfully and how the ADL is receiving so much bad press. But now, let me ask you this now. Can we count the ways, can we see materially how that has translated into real harm for these groups like the ADL? Can we come up with something substantial or substantive?
Well, the fact of the matter is that ADL was expecting a massive participation and cooperation from the liberal media when it released this 27-page rage report. It was claiming there, see, the title of it is Rage Grows in America, Anti-Government Conspiracies. What ADL was claiming in this report was it was not just the presence of conspiracy theories in America that was disturbing. It's the fact that there are literally millions of people out there who are involved in conspiracies, doing anything possible to misrepresent, distort, to bring Obama down. And this is what was so devastating about this mistake on the part of Foxman, who Abe Foxman, who wrote this report, was that he wasn't just offending a very small group of people. He was offending literally millions of Americans, calling them not potential but actual conspirators, big-time conspirators like Joseph Farah and Glenn Beck, and then small-time conspirators who are buying into anything they can to misrepresent and undermine the president. And the American people did not like that. They did not like being treated like that. Not only that, but a number of Jewish writers and intellectuals cried foul against ADL, and one of the most prominent was the editor of commentary, Jonathan Tobin, and he wrote a blistering attack upon ADL. And fortunately, I was on the scene right at the beginning, and I was able to send out an e-alert, which actually followed Tobin's articles by a couple of days. I didn't know about it at that time. Also an article by Joe Farah, the editor, the owner of WorldNet Daily, who wrote an angry editorial against the ADL, telling the ADL don't dare call him an anti-Semite. And Glenn Beck also sounded out a little bit on his huge radio program. But the ADL thought that they could get the cooperation of the liberal media, and the liberal media, astonishingly, was absolutely silent, except for one article down in L.A. by a lackey of ADL who actually got an award from them this year, a free speech award. He stood up for ADL a little bit and set the tone by saying that Glenn Beck's behavior reminded him of Father Coughlin, the so-called anti-Semitic Father Coughlin back in the 1930s. And this kind of language and this kind of innuendo and accusation just really set off Farah, really set off Glenn Beck, and so on. So there's the religious right is very bruised by this attack. And some of the critics have said, including a former ADL a vice chairman by the name of Joel Sprayrigan, he said that ADL could not have possibly chosen a worse time to vilify, demonize, tarnish the religious right than right now, when everyone is so up in arms against Obama and the liberals and the Democrats in Congress in the first place.
Well, now, you'll have to forgive me if I have a little bit of conspiratorial mindset here myself, but I'm wondering, is it also possible that what we are needed to be reminded of here is that Satan's kingdom is not divided against itself? That sometimes we do have the appearance of disagreement, and we do have the appearance that people of like mind working for the same satanic New World Order disagree or part ways along the road to serfdom. But ultimately, these same people are working toward the same end. And is it not possible that what they're doing is trying to save face for the ADL and just save face for Abe Foxman rather than to in any way differ from the ultimate agenda, Ted?
Well, Abe Foxman has this has been a disgraceful month for Abe Foxman. I cannot possibly conceive of his mind being so devious that he would purposely allow himself, project himself into such a buzzsaw of controversy and contempt against himself in order to exalt Glenn Beck or exalt Joe Farah or somebody like that. I have heard this idea that this is a very devious plot in order to give luster and preeminence to certain leaders on the religious right, but it just really doesn't fly with me. It's very clear. In fact, I wrote an article. It's entitled "Ex-ADL Leader Blasts Foxman." It's about Joel Spreyrigan, who was, as I said, a top ADL official, and he is just absolutely merciless on Foxman and on the ADL, saying that they have lost all respect in the liberal community and so on. It just doesn't wash with me that there's some kind of a covert agenda here. I think ADL is so, I've often said that evil is immoderate. It just can't get enough. It goes to extremes. And we certainly saw this in 2005 when Lynn Abraham, the ADL's executive board member, went to extreme and incarcerated these 11 Christians in Philadelphia and so on. Sometimes evil goes too far, and of course that's the time we have to seize the position of advantage and make hay of it, make the most of it. In fact, the publicity out of this was absolutely enormous against ADL. And as I said, none of the liberals in the whole country, they were too embarrassed to even stand up and join with ADL in claiming that millions of protesters against Obama are really conspirators, and they are consumed with toxic rage and so on. They just couldn't, even the liberals couldn't go that far. But my articles, I wrote a number of articles in very fast succession during that first week or two to get the most out of that, and I had a tremendous outreach. In fact, one of my articles had 100 postings on 100 different websites. And 50 postings, 100 postings of those various articles, they were voraciously read. And the ADL really had to retreat with its tail between its legs. In fact, the ADL did finally come out with a small article by the editors on their website, but they weren't giving an inch. They said basically everyone who criticized them was consumed with rage. And they were basically the only rational party in this very misunderstood situation.
But let me ask you this, to be more specific, Ted. Is it the ADL they want to brush aside and correct or reform or do away with? Or is it Abe Foxman?
Well, I think that what ADL was trying to do was just so untenable in the United States. Now, that's not true over in Israel, because just this last week, there's been a big international conference there with some 500 attendees from all the 50 different nations of the world. And the whole purpose of the so-called Global Forum for Combating Global Anti-Semitism is to establish the truth, mm-hmm, that any strong criticism of Israel or matters Jewish is anti-Semitism. According to this conference and the ADL, we are allowed to engage in very mild criticism of Israel, but if anything is very strong, it basically becomes an attempt to destroy the very existence of Israel and its legitimacy, joining with the Hamas and Hezbollah, etc., and is blatantly anti-Semitic. Now, in this global forum, they are trying to establish very outlandish assertions, saying literally billions of people in the world now are anti-Semitic and so on. But that's in Israel, where the Jerusalem Post and the media in Israel is sympathetic to those kinds of points of view. But for ADL here in America to claim that millions of Americans are conspirators was patently unworkable. It was embarrassing. It just couldn't fly. And I believe that even though the liberals and are a part of this whole Democrat conspiracy and so on, they just didn't want to go on record as standing beside ADL. In fact, I think this is the greatest embarrassment and defeat, a tarnishing of ADL since it was made clear back in 1988 by the Spotlight magazine, a newspaper, that ADL was caught red-handed with secret illegal files on some 10,000 Americans. We haven't seen an embarrassment of ADL of this magnitude since then, in my opinion.
Well, let's pick up on that because I have some more follow-up questions to that, Ted, but we have the break. So let's take the break and let's see if we can return to this discussion and see if, in fact, this is the beginning of the end for the ADL, or is this just another sidetrack down the road to tyranny? We'll find out. We'll discuss it. And we'll do it when we return with more of Rick Adams Uncensored.
How dare you call yourselves patriots and heroes? If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, you are just plain wrong. There is no freedom.
All right, I'm back now with Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. But, Ted, you know, I'm going to have to say this to you now. I'm going to play the devil's advocate, if you don't mind,
sure,
just for a few moments here, because I think it certainly makes it far more interesting, and it does raise some very serious questions about ADL. Now, you just alluded to the break-in, you know, the fact that ADL was caught red-handed in Los Angeles and San Francisco in the 90s stealing Americans' identities, the files and so forth, on behalf of Mossad, which it operates on behalf of Israel. And that was a scandal. That was something that was certainly a great embarrassment for the ADL. But the ADL survived that. It grew, continued, and it continued by working for these hate laws in the states themselves and the law in Congress, which has already been passed. Now, in addition to that, we mentioned the fact that we've seen the recent situations that have embarrassed the ADL. One comes to mind. That was the Armenian Genocide Proclamation, how the ADL, of course, was working vigorously against that because of its strategic relationship with the Turks. Now, I don't know about you, but it doesn't seem to me that it's done any good to be embarrassed, even in the Jewish media, in any way, shape, or form, because it looks like, to me, they have not in any way been sidetracked from their goals. And Abe Foxman is still there, of all people. So, you know, you can understand what I'm trying to say, right?
Well, the world is changing, though. In 1988 or 9, there was no organized opposition to ADL, apart from the Spotlight newspaper. And, of course, I had come out with my book in 84 and my video, The Other Israel, in 87.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
those were very pioneering works. I was creating a bridge over from researchers, including Gerald L. K. Smith, Elizabeth Dilling, and so on, which was providing raw documentation for me. And in my works, I was attempting to reach over to, especially to evangelicals, and bring them vital truth about ADL, about Zionism, about the Talmud, and all of this kind of thing. But there was not remotely resembling the awareness and the massive presence, especially on the internet, of critics of Israel, Zionism, Talmudism, and so on, that we have today. And you see, one of the reasons ADL has survived is this complete vacuum of any consistent and determined voices within the Christian conservative and the far right to really go after ADL and make them pay for these kinds of mistakes. The American Free Press, the former of the Spotlight, certainly did that. Michael Collins, Piper, and others really made the case against the ADL and did their very best to dramatize that, but all of that was completely ignored by the Christian conservative mainline media and so on. Now things are changing here, and in fact, this conference on global anti-Semitism, which was just held last week, in Jerusalem, they are saying that never before has the world, enormous percentage of the inhabitants of this earth been angry at Israel. Not just, they're not anti-Semitic, they're just angry about the injustices, the tremendous abuses and injustices against the Palestinians, particularly after the Gaza invasion and bombardment a year ago. And, in fact, a poll was printed in the Jerusalem Post last week, which showed that nearly 50%, 45% or so, of Europeans now are agreeing. Almost one out of every two Europeans on the street now is agreeing that Israel, that the Zionist media and the Jews are manipulating and dramatizing the Holocaust for their own purposes, and number two, that Israel is intent on genocide and the destruction of the Palestinian population. And when you get one out of two Europeans, this is a staggering number. I mean, a year ago we might have had figures like that in a few countries like Spain and others. But now when you're talking to the man on the street in Hamburg or Paris or London, and the rest of the Europeans are agreeing, you see, that's why they had this big conference there. They're trying to figure out what to do about this, what they call mushrooming anti-Semitism in the world today. Now, what this means to the ADL is that everybody's catching on, that the ADL is behind all these awful hate crimes laws which have descended upon the Western industrialized nations. And our website, truthtellers.org, beams powerfully into Canada, into Russia, into England, into Holland, France, all over the world, where a majority of a good percentage of people speak English and can read our articles at truthtellers.org. And we are, I believe very definitely, that we are influencing politicians and leaders and thinkers and academics and activists in all of these countries to drag their feet about going forward into the ADL hate crimes bureaucracies. In fact, again, just last month, ADL was very, very disturbed. They went off to Warsaw, Poland, to a big conference of their Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, which is their...
Okay, let's hold that. Hold that for a moment, Ted, because we're up against the break. There's so much going on here in this exchange, so we'll come right back to you in just 3 minutes with more of Rick Adams Uncensored, right here on RBN.
Today, we're all going to learn a new term. It's only two words. Now listen closely. Can all of you say constructive fraud?
Constructive fraud!
And we're back in this very interesting first hour of the program with Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. Ted, you were just going to make a statement about the Warsaw statement here, and go ahead, continue that point. Then I have another question for you.
Yes, the Anti-Defamation League and the Neighborhood International, its parent organization, have been setting up a 56-member confederation of European nations called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE. And
yeah.
They have thought that that's been going along pretty well. They've been requiring a statistics gathering and creation of hate laws and orchestration of cooperation in a hate crimes. The Gestapo getting started there, but lo and behold, this year in the annual report from these member nations, there's a tremendous attrition of these nations basically bailing out and refusing to provide the statistics. And all that kind of thing. They're not making the hate laws. They're not enforcing the hate laws like they should be. And ADL is tearing its hair. And in Warsaw, they were there berating them at this conference and so on. And I did write an article about that, giving the ADL's lament that they are simply not cooperating. And what we are seeing here, I believe, is that the longer we can keep fighting ADL, keep in the fight as far as alerting the whole world to who's behind these hate laws, the greater chance we have, as we are seeing in Canada,
with several of these major acquittals in the last 6 months. The Reverend Stephen Boissoin was just acquitted, and then also another one there with the tribunal head is saying that was unconstitutional and so on.
Yes,
Demetrios Hagian. And anyway, the longer we can hold out and continue to warn people, let them know who is really behind these efforts to take away their freedoms and their freedom of speech, the greater opportunity we have of causing the ADL to become so encumbered with controversy and fires that it has to put out that it's simply going to be too monumental a task for it to go all the way forward to world dominion.
All right, so you're saying that now we've listed the inroads that ADL and the Jewish Mafia has made in America today, but you've also then provided some examples of what you feel are the counterinsurgency plans of the people themselves against ADL. But let me ask you then, does this mean that you think that some of these Holocaust denial laws are going to be repealed in nations in Europe where they are in effect, Ted?
I don't know about that, but I do know that even politicians, even legislators, have rational capacities. They do go to the internet. They hear what's coming across the news wires and even the internet grapevine. They are aware, increasingly aware of the absurdities, the tremendous abuses and injustices and follies of hate crimes legislation. And our website, truthtellers.org, of course, has been haranguing and emphasizing this without restraint, especially during these big hate bill fights in Congress, letting the people know, drilling it in, that ADL is behind this. And it is quite unprecedented that Joseph Farah, the head of WorldNet Daily, came out with a biting editorial in which he basically warned ADL, you better step back, because he's obviously not anxious to criticize ADL, but he says, if you come after me claiming that I'm an anti-Semite, then he made it very clear they're going to have a fight on their hands. And not only that, but News with Views is a somewhat smaller but very well-trafficked evangelical Christian conservative online newspaper, and they are now putting me on as a regular writer. And I broke the story of the ADL's toxic rage attack there on News with Views, and have written about four articles since then. And one of the most amazing things happened when I first came out with that toxic rage article on News with Views. Immediately my phone rang, and here was an Orthodox rabbi from Los Angeles, Rabbi Shifrin, who is running for the Senate, the state house in California. He said, I love what you're doing. He says, I hate the ADL. I want to get the ADL. And so I told him, I said, well, you call, contact Paul Walter, owner of News with Views, and encourage him and see if you can write an article. So Rabbi Shifrin came out with a blistering article against ADL, saying basically everything I am.
Which rabbinical order is he as a rabbi?
Well, he's an Orthodox Jew. He was a radical back in the 60s, a liberal and so on, a Jewish liberal, of course, in the 60s. But he began to sober down and went off to Jerusalem and became a rabbinical student there and was ordained as a rabbi. But he's an awful lot like Rabbi Lappin of Torah tradition up in Seattle. Very much against ADL, very much against secular Judaism. Now, he is a strong Zionist and so on, but what really matters for me is he came out with, and Walter put up his mosaic image there with a grand beard and everything for a couple of weeks, I think, on News with Views, and he's extremely popular, but he laid down the law saying ADL is a godless, a secular, didn't say the word antichrist, but a pro-liberal, pro-communist organization, and they want to take over the world and so on. Anyway, he went before me, kind of prophetically, he went before me there on News and Views, literally disarming all criticism from this huge evangelical audience. They get a couple hundred thousand visits
all
every day.
Ted, and, I understand that. I don't think we have too much time to actually go too far, but I understand the point. But let me ask you this now, okay, because I'll see if I can squeeze in one or two calls here. But the thing that concerns me is this. You would probably remember the old days of the Federal Council of Churches.
Yes. National Council?
No, no, no. It was the Federal Council of Churches, but way back when, in the 30s and so forth, that had become so radical, so pro-communist, so pro-Marxist that it became totally ineffective.
Yes.
It actually was counterproductive, and it wound up just changing its whole outlook, its whole name, its whole persona, and yet the radicalism stayed there, but it wound up reincorporating and changing, and it became the National Council of Churches.
I see.
And what I'm asking you out of sincerity here is because I'm scratching my wooden head trying to suggest that maybe there's more here than meets the eye in the grand scheme of things scripturally. And that is, are we just being led down the same path, maybe? And are we going to see ADL pack up its bags and then these same people just regroup and reform to a more dangerous, more effective organization? Isn't that possible?
Well, you see, what's happening in the world today is that on one level we have tremendous information going out to literally millions of people that there's something radically wrong with our government, radically wrong with the media, and so on. Now, there are those, and I could tell you who the talk show hosts are who say that. They don't touch the Jews. They will
That's
go after
true.
ADL, but they won't go after Zionism and the Jews.
Absolutely.
This is, in my opinion, this is a service to me, because out of those millions of people who are being awakened, a high percentage, a large percentage, eventually come to your program, they come to truthtellers.org, and then they get the whole truth. Now, it's going to be very hard, in my opinion, no matter, even if the ADL does fade into history, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to erase all of this specific truth, this very indicting, incriminating truth about a Zionist world conspiracy. And again, I think what we're going to have to do is just say, God is at work in response to our prayers and our faithfulness to unite what works with faith. I believe God is confounding the enemy. And I've seen this repeatedly in my hate bill fights in Congress, is that God comes in undeniably and causes confusion, mistakes, disarray among the hate bill supporters, the ADL, and so on. And rather than remaining too skeptical, sometimes I think we have to just say that the hand of God is moving in history because he wants America to survive.
Okay, all right. Let me do this now. Let me take a call or two and see what a couple of our people have to say or think as time permits, all right? We have on the line now Lark in Texas, first of all. Hello there, Lark.
Well, hello.
Lark, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Okay. All right. Go right ahead. Question for Ted or a comment, please.
Well, Reverend Pike, I want you to know I'm an admirer of your work.
Well, thank you.
And if nothing else in the whole world, the only thing I would want to do is support you in it.
Well, thank you very much, Lark.
However, I want to come back to Rick's concern, because it is also my concern when he speaks of the World Council of Churches. I go back in my studies and my look at historical events. I see that Brene Brith became the first exclusively Jewish Freemasonic lodge in America in 1843.
Uh-huh.
I see that ADL was actually an offshoot from Brene Brith. It was formed the same year that the Federal Reserve Act
yes.
was passed, 1913. I come forward through time, and I look at the takeover of the church by interests, loyal to people like Rockefeller, for instance. And I have a genuine concern for the church, because
yes.
I believe they're being co-opted.
Of course.
I mean, I personally will not watch Glenn Beck. I will not visit WorldNet Daily and listen to what Joseph Farah has to say, because I have done some research, and I just feel like we are dealing with people who are really just engaged in a dialectical psi operation with people like Abe Foxman in the ADL. It doesn't do the American people any good to have these conflicts going back and forth unless we can actually root out some other truths. And so the only other truth that I want to reveal in my studies that may or may not be helpful to you in your efforts is that when I look at how the churches, especially the Protestant churches and the Catholic Church in America, have been entirely co-opted by the world communitarianism cause. The word is communitarianism. It's the one-ism that has somehow been utilized to co-opt the Christian churches in America. It is a very sad circumstance for me. And yet, I can go to American Free Press. I can go to RBN. And I can do a word search for just those terms. And I get zero results. Zero. And yet, this is, in fact, communitarian law, the law of the land. And it has been since for the last 25 or 30 years. It's never discussed in the media. It's never discussed in the mainstream press. And yet our most powerful voices, people like yourself, people like the folks who write for American Free Press, will not even use the word.
Well, to tell you the truth, this is the first time I've ever heard the word.
Well, then I'm glad to help you in your research.
There you go. We learn more every day, right?
Sir, if
all right,
you
so,
are...
Lark, for sake of time, the bottom line that you want to address for Ted here is that what now? He should familiarize himself with this strategy and this concept?
Well, I'm not going to say he should, sir. What I'm going to say is this, Rick, because I truly do support you and I truly do support Reverend Pike. I love both of what you gentlemen are doing.
Yes.
But you say that you are now a featured writer at Newsweek Views. Well, then I would only suggest that you look up a writer named Nikki Rapana. She is a regular contributor at News with Views.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is spelled N-I-K-I.
Yep.
Rapana, R as in Robert, double A-A as in Apple, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, A as in Apple. She's a regular writer of communitarianism and communitarian law. Its principal exponent in the United States is a George Washington University professor named Amitai Etzioni.
Mm-hmm.
He is, his name means Tree of Life from Zion. And he has been a special policy advisor to the White House since the time of Jimmy Carter. He's a regular writer for the Huffington Post, along with Cass Sunstein and others who are members of the Obama administration. But we must understand that the right, just like the Protestant churches and the Catholic Church in America, have absolutely been co-opted by these people.
Mm-hmm.
And people like Abe Foxman and Joseph Farah and Glenn Beck, they're paid the money that they're paid because their job is to stir the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because in communitarian parlance, they are known as change agents.
Mm. That is something to think about, Ted. You raised some excellent points.
And I'm very happy to help, Rick.
Okay.
If Reverend Pike wants to communicate with me, I'm very happy to be helpful to him in any way that I can.
I know he's done a lot of research here, Ted, so we'll give him credit for that.
I'm happy. You can email me with any material at tedpike@truthtellers.org. Just put in the subject line, requested by Ted Pike. Now, the point I want to try to make is that if we become totally submerged in such an all-inclusive conspiracy theory in which every aspect of society is absolutely enmeshed in this Illuminati web and chain of command and so on, that there's no possibility for God to work or us to take a half a loaf or an imperfect situation and maximize it, then we might as well just give up because we are overwhelmed.
All right, let's take a quick break for time. We'll come back, see if we can squeeze in another call or so right here in the first hour of the program with Ted Pike. We're having quite a good, hot discussion tonight, and hope you'll continue to listen in. We'll be right back with more.
Can man control his destiny? Can he change the shape of things to come?
All right, we're back now, and I'm going to try to squeeze in a caller again. Ed in Saskatchewan, hello. You're on here with Ted Pike. Quickly, please.
Yeah, I was listening to Ted say that there's a growing opposition to the ADL. Someone sent me an email a couple days ago about the Republic of Moldova. There was an Orthodox church priest, led about 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
They went down to the Great Square, and they tore down the menorah.
Yes.
Chopped it up. And then a couple days later, there's a news item from New York saying the ADL intervened with the government of Moldova and got the menorah reestablished in the square.
Yeah.
I mean, their arms are, just so far reaching around the world. Their power, like they went through the ambassador and convinced them that the Moldovan government should put this menorah back up. So,
what do you think of that, Ted?
That is true. The long arm of the ADL goes to the 56 nations, which, you see, B'nai B'rith International has lodges and chapters in 56 nations of the world, and so they have people on the ground there to take action in the legislatures, in the governments, in society, and so on, to work to enact hate laws and to do their best to enforce them. But what I have to say is, again, kind of referencing this last caller, Lark, that if we get in the mindset that this conspiracy is so pervasive, so absolutely infinite in its machinations and maneuverings, then it's very disheartening. It's very, very depressing. And what I believe, I certainly believe that there is an Illuminist Zionist network which is incredibly complex. But on the other hand, I have to say that God Almighty is way, way over all of these diabolical schemes and organizations of the devil. And if we call upon him and are looking toward him and praying for his deliverance, I believe he can give us tokens and opportunities to take the offensive. You know, in the book of Daniel, it says, in the days of the Antichrist, they that know their God shall do exploits. They shall take action and do exploits, it says. And that for that reason, whenever I see a public figure, no matter whether he's a Zionist, no matter whether he's an Orthodox rabbi, moving to some extent in the right direction, my business is to encourage that, to dramatize that, and encourage a repetition of that kind of courage. You know, back in the Old Testament, Ahab and Jezebel were some of the worst rulers of Israel. In fact, Ahab had orchestrated the killing of Naboth in order to get his vineyard. But it says that he turned his face to the wall and began to mourn. And God immediately responded from heaven and saying, Do you see how Ahab is turning his face to the wall in mourning? I'll give the country 15 more years of peace just for that one act. And so when I see Joe Farah shooting off his mouth a little bit against the ADL or some other evangelical going in the right direction, I don't get all bogged down in how many sins and compromises these people have made with the enemy. I concentrate on the
on the positive and encourage other people to follow that example.
All right. So do you think that's like an any old port in a storm philosophy? Or?
Well, we have to realize that God is able to to make a way where there seems to be no way. And the Red Sea. God said to Moses, "What's that in your hand?" "Well, it's just a little stick." Well, he said, "A little stick with God's power can depart the waters."
Okay. You know what? I may just have you stay on for another 5 minutes if you can.
Sure.
All right. We'll do that, but I don't want to drag this out with any more callers than what we have because I do have some other things I'd like to get to as well tonight. All right. We'll be right back with more of Ted Pike in 1 minute. Okay. Here we are back again, and Tim in Georgia has a comment or two for Ted. Hello there, Tim.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Okay, we're all doing good. Hi. Thank you.
How you doing, Mr. Pike? God also gave us common sense, and any rabbi who calls himself a Zionist, I wouldn't turn my back on him.
Well, of course not. No, I know about as much as anybody about what Orthodox Judaism and Talmud and the Kabbalah are all about. I've written a book on it. I've produced countless articles on all the perversions and conspiracies of that, but on the other hand, in power politics, which is basically what we are involved in shaping and moving this country in the right direction, when a rabbi comes along and says, "I want to save America," whether it's Rabbi Lappin or Rabbi Schifrin, and says, "I want to save America, I appreciate what America's done for the Jewish people in the last 2,000 years, etc., and says, "I want to blast ADL and I want to vindicate everything Ted Pike is saying about ADL to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of evangelicals," I would be a fool to pass up that opportunity. And what Schifrin has done with News and Views now is to pave the way before me, giving credibility what I'm just saying to millions of evangelicals. This is no small accomplishment. I mean, I've been working for the last 30 years to get a point of entry into the evangelical mind, and now it's happening, and there is no criticism of me on News with Views. So you have to be pragmatic. You have to see what works, and it's deadly, though, to get so wrapped up in conspiracy theories, real or tenuous, that we are so gloomy that we cannot see the light, the shaft of light, which God Almighty, I believe, might be bringing to us in our darkness.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you, Tim.
Satan,
for that call.
Satan can be holding that flat light, too, and leading that light you shouldn't go to. I don't trust him. I wouldn't turn back.
That's very true.
Yeah, be very watchful for that. Thank you, Tim. Terry in Texas. Hello, Terry.
Yeah, Rick, I have a quick question. What do you think about, what do you all and Reverend Pike know about George Mitchell?
George
Hello?
Mitchell, you mean the
Middle
envoy,
East envoy.
The former envoy, the former senator, commissioner in baseball?
Bibi Netanyahu's henchman.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if that's something you're prepared to talk about. Do you have any comments?
No, I'm not really.
Okay. Any other questions?
Quick question. What happens if you're within collar distance of him and able to drop numerous bombs on him? Would you take that approach?
How do you mean now, Terry?
Like being on a train with him about 30 minutes ago?
I don't know what you're referring to, but Ted, do you
know?
In
light of this, it's ironic you all are talking about the Middle East and about Israel as Zionists. I mean, what would you do if you had an opportunity presented to you, a major player in the Middle East, particularly a supporter of the Zionists, you got an opportunity to confront them, and you're in a public situation and there's no place for them to go. Do you chew on their air?
No, I'm not going to resort to violence under any circumstances. This battle we're in is an ideological, a conceptual, a spiritual a conflict, and it, as far as I'm concerned, it's always going to be undertaken through the thoughts and the concepts which are the most powerful tools we can bring. Of course, the pen is mightier than the sword. Jesus said, if you take up the sword,
is going to die by the sword, and I wouldn't sanction any of that.
Terry, does that answer your question?
I guess I'll have to. Thank you.
All right. All right. We're just pressed for time. And, Ted, thank you for being on. The website is truthtellers.org, right?
Thank you, Rick.
All right. Thank you. It's been a very exciting program tonight, and we'll just have to pursue this from month to month, and we'll talk again next year, Lord willing.